5 out of 10. The other 10, we all know there are certain things that people want to, that they ask, they object to. Can't you just email me the quotes? Can't you just do it over the phone? We changed our mind. We already have coverage in place, especially some of the older leads. We get some of those kind of objections, like they already have coverage in place, or they already met with somebody and they decided it's just a little bit too expensive, or, you know, all these different kinds of objections. So we're going to go through those. And if there's anything we don't cover, we're going to give you a chance to give us some objections that you've heard. And if you can take those 5 out of 10 and turn it into 9 out of 10, because you become a little bit better on the phone, you sharpen your skills. It can double your income, just about double it, or possibly more than double it, just by getting a little bit better on the phone. Doing everything else the same, spending the same amount on leads, maybe a little bit extra in gas because you've got more appointments, but just about doubling your income. And I think a lot of people don't spend enough on sharpening their skills. So this call, that's what this call is going to be about. Nate, are you on the phone?
I am. Well, one of the things that we want to address tonight on the call is calling older leads, calling even the newer leads, and some of the objections that you may get on the phone. And the funny thing to me, I guess it's not funny, but one of the things that I learned that has become funny to me now is I used to be afraid of objections. Like objections like, oh my gosh, I don't want them to say no. I don't want them to say I need to think about it. I don't want people to say I'm already covered. And going through a lot of different sales careers that I've been involved with, and the most recent one in the credit card processing world, I mean, we would go in, guys, and we had 20, 30,000 competitive companies that were trying to take our business, and we were talking to business owners, trying to get them out of a contract. They had to pay to get out of their contract, pay us to get into a new contract, and we normally would sell them or lease them new equipment. So when we were walking into a merchant, we didn't have leads. We were cold calling. So we had to get very, very, very good at overcoming the objections, because we weren't the number one, we weren't the only ones out there. Number two, they already had that service put in place. And so we had to get really good at creating doubt. And what my mentor taught me was the objections that you get are a roadmap to where their mind is at. And that's something I never forgot. Instead of being scared of objections now, I kind of look for that objection, because it's almost like a road sign on the side of the road. I don't think any of you guys driving down, taking your, you know, kids to Disney World, or down in Florida or California, and all of a sudden it says Disney World next two exits, and you just jump out of your car and go, oh my gosh, Disney World. Oh, there's a sign, Disney World, two exits. What am I going to do? And you all cramp up and you can't drive anymore, and all the kids are out freaking out because you're freaking out. That doesn't make any sense. And so being mentored the way I've been mentored, it doesn't make sense to me when people freak out when they get an objection. And it's only because our brains think that either you're taking it defensive, or you're like, oh boy, it's not going to go the way I want to get it. It's a sign for them showing you where their head's at, where their brain's thinking at. And a lot of them are knee-jerk responses. My mentor always said, you know, an objection, talking to a prospect without an objection is like trying to pick up a greased watermelon. Have you ever tried to pick up a greased watermelon? If you guys, you know, been to the fair, you know, when you were little at church picnics or whatever, it's super hard to do. And he said an objection is nothing more than the handle that goes on that greased watermelon to give you a handle to pick it up. So we want to make sure that when you're getting some of these objections on the phone, and as you start trading less time for money, the more, you know, you're able to invest in your business and you start getting the A leads, it doesn't mean the objections go away. They're just fewer objections. And most of the people who remember, they actually fill out the form because they sent in a week or two ago, or 5 days ago, or 6 days ago, wherever it may be. So we want to kind of cover a little bit about when you're calling these older leads or even the newer leads, to find out what do I say when I see the sign? Because right now you may see the sign objection, I already took care of that, but it doesn't say underneath it, go right in two exits. So we're going to show you how to take that, I already took care of it, and find out how to, which exit to take, if that makes any sense to you guys. So I know we all talk about posture on the phone. We talk about when you're calling on the phone. I want Brad to go through a little bit about how he calls his older leads, because I love the way he addresses his posture and, you know, how he starts off the conversation when he calls them. But one of the things I was talking to on another conference call, I think it was with some of you guys or even an agent, was that when I'm calling, especially the older leads or even the newer leads, my brain's thinking, okay, I have a form in front of me. It says John Smith. There may be 10 or 20 John Smiths in this area. I got a briefcase with $10,000 in it in my office sitting next to me, and I just got to find out, is this the John Smith that is the one who knows Bob, whose cousins with Sue, who left an inheritance when he passed away, and John Smith is the one that this $10,000 briefcase should be going to? So if I have that mentality, I'm not begging on the phone. I'm not trying to get an appointment. I'm not trying to set an appointment. And my mentor always said, you know, he gave me a story about, you know, to a street corner. He said, if I went and showed you to go out on the street corner and I told you to beg for $10, right? And your whole job was to beg for $10. So your job tomorrow is to go stand on the street corner and beg for $10. And whoever can get the most $10 wins. So you're sitting on the corner, go, hey, you know, excuse me, can I have $10? Oh, and people ignore you. They don't look at you. They go, get a job, scumbag. And your feelings get hurt and it's tough. And you're like, oh my gosh, man, this is harder than I thought. Well, what if we took the same street corner the next day and we did it exact same time you did it the day before, but instead of you begging for $10, now you're handing out $10. So anytime someone walks by, I go, hey, would you like to have a free $10 bill? What will amaze you is the same people that ignored you will still ignore you. The same people that go, oh, that can't be real. No one can give you $10. Get a real job. But your posture is different because you're giving them an opportunity here. You're showing them, hey, I have $10, and if they ignore you, you're thinking, what an idiot, as opposed to when you're begging for the $10, you're thinking you're an idiot. So posture is very important. Your mindset when you pick up the phone is very important when you're calling these leads, because your job is that you're doing an investigation, especially on the older leads, of a form that a family mailed in that had a need or concern to make sure that their family was protected in case of a death, a disability, or a critical illness. Your job is to make sure that their concern or their need got addressed or taken care of. That's it. That's what our job is to do. If it wasn't for them sending in the form, we wouldn't be having to call them on a Friday night or Saturday morning. It's their fault, right? They sent in the form, they had a need, they had a concern, and your job is to get resolution on that form that they mailed back in, whether it be going to their house and knocking on their door because you can't get a hold of them, whether it be sitting down with them and showing them the options that they qualify for. But your job is to get resolution on each and every form that was mailed back in to our office or to you that you got, and make sure that his family's covered. So I want Brad to kind of start off on the posture, especially with the older leads, if you don't mind, Brad, and then we'll kind of cover a little bit about the script. We'll go through some objections of how you make that initial phone call when you're calling the older leads that sometimes could be 5 weeks old or 6 months old or a year old or 2 years old.
Okay, yep. So, and I want to go over that script that you wrote too. And part of the thinking in kind of redoing a little bit was really in the questions that we're asking. The questions, we don't want to be asking a bunch of questions that are irrelevant. If the answer is, like, for example, people who say, I've already got coverage in place, or do you remember filling out that form? Do you remember filling out the form? I always was told to ask, but what does it matter? Either way, I want to try to get to the health questions and get to the appointments. So it doesn't matter if they remembered or not. If they say that they already got coverage, what company did you go with? Well, that's an irrelevant question. So some of those questions Nate took out of the script and put in much more relevant questions that keep you on track. We don't want to have a road available to get you off track. We want to make sure that the questions we're asking, we either way, whatever the answer they give, is sticking to the track, okay? So my posture when I'm calling older leads especially is I'm very confused. I'm looking at this form. I don't want to appear like I make these phone calls every day, every week. I want to appear like this is a one-time situation. I'm really confused. I don't know really what I'm looking at. And so I pick up if I'm calling Nate and I say, hey, Nate, go ahead.
Yeah.
Let's do some roll.
Yep.
Hey, this is Brad. I'm with the Mortgage Protection Group for the Fayetteville, Arkansas area. And the reason I'm calling is because I'm doing an investigation on this form that has your name on it, and it doesn't have a date on it, and I can't tell if it ever got taken care of. That's kind of my posture. So I say a lot, and some people say, well, that's not very professional. Well, I don't want to be professional. I don't want them to feel like I'm a telemarketer. The 5 to 10 seconds, the first 5 to 10 seconds when they pick up the phone, if they don't recognize who you are, they're trying to figure out, is this a telemarketer? Are they trying to sell me something? If it's not mom or dad or brother or sister or some sort of friend, they're immediately trying to figure out, who is this and what do they want? So I don't want them to feel like I'm a telemarketer. I'm doing an investigation on a lead, a form. I don't say lead, on a form that they filled out. It's got their name on it. It's got their signature, whatever it is. And I'm confused. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Hello, Brad.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, this is Nate. I'm a manager with the Mortgage Protection Center here in Dallas, Texas, and I'm looking at a form here, and it has your signature on it. It just came across my desk, and I'm doing an investigation on it, and the problem I'm having is I have no idea when it was filled out or if it was ever even taken care of. Well, sometime in the past year or two, you either refinanced or purchased a new home. Well, shortly after that, your bank mailed you out a letter that you filled out, and you mailed it back to our office. And you were requesting some information on mortgage protection in case of a death or a critical illness or a disability, that your home would be paid off or your mortgage payments would be made for you. But what I'm trying to figure out here is, were you able to get that protection put in place for your family yet? I'm going to stop there before he answers. But as you get into the older leads, and maybe sometimes you're working 50-cent leads or dollar leads, they may be older where they don't remember. So to me, I don't ask them, do the member fill out the form, because chances is it's no. That's a negative answer, no, I don't. Now you're on the defensive. Now you're trying to get them back on the offensive. So I assume that they remember. I don't say, hey, did you refinance or purchase a home in the last 24 to 46 months or last 24 to 48 months? Well, yeah, why? Defensive. You lost control of the conversation. They know, and we know, if the lead's a year old, they either refinanced or purchased the home. So why do we need to ask them an answer we already know the question to that they're going to get defensive about? So if I go, you know, sometime in the past year or two, Brad, I know you either refinanced or purchased a new home, and shortly after that, your bank mailed you out a letter, and then you filled it out and you mailed it back to our office. You wanted to request some information about mortgage protection in case of a death or a critical illness or a disability, that your home would be paid off or your mortgage payments would be made for you. And what I'm just trying to do here and figure out, Brad, is, were you able to get that protection put in place for your family yet? And that is the leading question. He can only say one or two things. And if I know the answer to both things, who's in control of the conversation?
And that's key.
If I ask him, oh, Brad, do you remember filling that form? No, I'm not interested. Thanks a lot. Click.
Yep.
Okay. Were you able to, I'm just trying to figure out here. Again, I'm just trying to help him out. I'm trying to get resolution on this. Were you able to get that protection put in place for your family yet? And he's either going to say, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. And what we're going to do is go over some of the objections for if he says, yes, I did. And if he said, go ahead and say, no, I know, I haven't got a chance yet.
No, we never got the coverage.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I got a hold of you. Sorry it's taken so long. We have just so many forms coming in and not enough agents to be able to go through them all. So what I need to do is just verify some information here that you put on the form so I can work up the options that you're looking for. Okay, Brad? You put down here your birth date is 3/25/75. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you turned 39 here in 2 days. Happy birthday. And your wife here, Karen, you put her birth date as 11/12, whatever. And I'm just going to write to the script. So that's pretty easy, right? Road sign. No, I haven't had a chance to put that protection. Why? I don't say why not, or is that still a concern to you? I don't care. He'll stop me if it's not a concern to him. I'm just going to assume the sale, which is a whole other training we're going to do. I'm going to use a lot of overcoming objections that I was taught, which is another training we're going to do. I'm going to use attack and confess, which is another training we're going to do. And that's all incorporated from the 10, 15, 20 years of combined training between me, the 10, 20 years combined training with Matt and Brad. And we put that psychology into the script, so you don't necessarily need to learn that stuff yet. You're just able to use the stuff that we've learned to put the psychology behind it into the script. So he goes, no, I haven't had a chance to take care of that. Oh, well, I'm glad I got a hold of you. And I apologize on behalf of our company. We have so many forms coming in and not enough agents to be able to get a hold of everybody. So I'm glad I got a hold of you. I just need to verify some information here that you put on this form, and I'll just work up the options that you're looking for. Now, if he says yes. So, Brad, you know, what I'm doing here right now is trying to figure out is, were you able to get that protection put in place for your family yet?
Yeah, we already got some coverage in place.
Okay, great. Congratulations for that. That's awesome. just to make sure you don't continue getting hassled by other agents in our company, I'm required to pretty much get resolution and put this in the system here on every form that's mailed to our office. So in order to do that, I just need to ask you a few simple questions. You might help me out real quick.
Sure.
Okay, now here's where I'm going to create doubt. Now, again, if you're nice, you ever seen those bumper stickers, mean people suck? Well, I'll tell you something. Nice people, and you want to write this one down, right? Nice people like nice people. Pretty easy, right? Mean people also like nice people. So if I'm saying, you know, in order to make sure you don't continue getting hassled by some other agents or reps in our company, I just need to ask you a couple questions, get you off our list here. I'm required to get resolution on all the forms that are mailed back into the office. I'm sure you understand that. So would you mind just helping me out real quick?
Sure.
And if he says no, I just don't understand how he could say no. Like, oh, well, no, I don't want to help you out. I was very nice. I was very polite. I have his best interest in heart. I'm saying I don't want to make sure no one likes to get hassled. I want to make sure he's not getting hassled by other people. So in order for me to do that, and so their brain, it's just, I can't wait till we start doing these trainings, guys, because we could spend an entire afternoon on the psychology of the brain, but his brain, the decision he's making in his brain is not whether or not he wants to answer your questions or whether or not he wants to hang up the phone or not. The decision you're having him make in his brain is, does he want to get hassled or not by anybody else calling him? That's the exact decision he's making. In order for you not to continue getting hassled by other agents or reps in our company, boom, you implanted in his brain, the only way out of that, so I'm telling him, the only way you're not going to get hassled and beat down with more phone calls and have other people like me calling you is that you have to answer these questions. So I'm setting them up. Would you mind help me out real quick? And I'm saying, oh, would you do me a favor? I have to get resolution on these leads required by my company, you know, and would you mind I just had to ask you a couple quick questions. Would you mind helping me out real quick? No. Okay, great. So the protection that you put in place right now for your family, Brad, did you just get the death benefit that pretty much just pays off your home in case you die? Or did you also get the living benefits that allow you, you know, to have access to a portion of that money while you're still alive? You know, tax-free lump sum that you can use to make your mortgage payments with or even additional medical bills. If you, you know, became disabled or if you had some type of a critical illness like a heart attack, stroke, cancer, kidney failure, I mean, did you just get the death benefit or did you also get the living benefits?
Well, no, I only got the death benefit. I don't even know if I'd qualify for the living benefit.
Okay. All right. And I guess my other question would be, did you get the old coverage that if you don't die, you pretty much just gave your money to the insurance company and kind of threw it in the black hole, betting on the fact that you were going to die? Or were you able to get the new coverage where if you don't die or you don't use it, that they give you all your money back?
Well, I didn't even hear about the second option. I just had the first one.
Okay, well, great. No, I mean, it's exactly why I'm calling here. I mean, if you can just verify some information on the form that you sent back to us, I'll at least look up whether you qualify for those options or not, okay? I know you put down here your birthday is 3/25/75. Is that right? Boom, I'm right into the screen.
Yeah.
And some people go, oh, it's not that easy when I'm on the phone. Well, it may not be that easy on the phone because you haven't used the script yet, but number two is you're right. Sometimes it's not that easy on the phone. Out of 10 people, that may work on 2 or 3 people, may work on 4 people, 5 people. Depends on your tonality. It depends on your pace. It depends on your inflection of your voice, how you're talking, whether you're monotone reading a script in terms of the protection you put in place so you get the death benefit, or are you really sincerely feeling like I'm caring about this person? You know, in terms of the protection right now, Brad, that you guys got, did you – curiosity, right? I'm creating doubt this whole time. My goal, what my mentor taught me and how we had to do this in terms of the credit card processing is we had to create doubt that because everyone's, oh, I have a great rate. Okay, great. I have to create doubt. How do you know for sure it's the best rate? Have you been involved in credit card processing before? You know, you negotiated a rate, but great, you sat down with a guy who's been in the business for 10 years who knows way more about credit card processing than you do, and you say you negotiated the best rate. How can you be sure you negotiated the best rate if you've never been in the credit card processing business? Well, I guess I can't. You guys were telling me something like if you tell someone something, you're selling them, and I've heard it's a different way, but when you tell someone something, you're selling them, if you can make their mind believe or say it to you, then basically it's a fact. So if I'm trying to sell him something, you know, by telling him all the stuff, it's like it's irrelevant. But if I can get his brain to go, well, maybe I don't have the best rate or I didn't know that coverage existed, now he's selling himself. That's a whole other training. So back to that whole thing, you know, I already took care of that. Okay, great. You know, congratulations on that. That's awesome. You know, I just want to make sure you don't keep getting hassled by other agents with our company. So, you know, I'm required to get some resolution on every form that's mailed to our office. So in order to do that, Brad, I just need, and I use their name a lot, guys, I just need to ask you a few quick questions. You might help me out real quick. No, okay. So in terms of the protection you put in place, did you just get the death benefit that pays off your home in case you die? Or did you also get the living benefits that basically would allow you to have access to that money or a portion of that money while you're still alive, tax-free, lump sum, that you could use, you know, if you become disabled to pay for your mortgage payments, or God forbid you get a critical illness, you know, you have access to that money, take care of some additional medical bills, or even pay your mortgage payments each month, like if you have a heart attack or stroke or cancer, something like that. I mean, do you remember if you just got the death benefit or did you also get the living benefits?
I just got the death benefit.
Yeah, he's not going to know most likely. He's not sure. And I go, okay, well, my second question would be, did you get the old coverage versus the new coverage? The old coverage, in essence, and it's not exactly what you say, it's how you say it, but in my mind I'm going the old coverage, that crappy, disgusting, gooey, and I'm very visual, guys. My mentor taught me to be very visual. I'm thinking this old coverage, right? This dusty suitcase, it's old, this crappy car, it's got Bondo on the fenders, and rust spots, and the paint on the hood's a different color than the side of the car. And, you know, do you have an old car? Or you have that shiny, new, you know, nothing's prettier than that black-on-black car, except if you're in Texas when it's 100 degrees, you know, that's just sparkling there with the nice 19 or 20-inch rims, the new coverage, and that's how my brain's thinking. When you visualize that way, guys, your inflection and your tonality comes across the phone, and people always say, you can tell if I'm smiling over the phone or if I'm not smiling over the phone. Smiling? Not smiling. It's the same thing with when your inflection is in terms of, hey, did you just get the old coverage, you know, that just in the old case you die, that you pretty much, you know, if you don't die, you pretty much just give all your money to the insurance company and kind of throw it down a black hole and they get it all? Or did you get the new coverage where if you don't die or if you don't use it, you pretty much get all your money back? Well, if I could just verify some information here on this form you sent back to us, I can at least look up whether you qualify for those options or not. Or I can go, and there's different ways you can go with that, guys. You know, I could say, well, if you could qualify for the living benefits and the money back option, would that be something that would be important to you, or you'd be at least willing to take a look at? Or besides just protecting your family in the event that you die, do you also think it'd be important to have coverage in place in case you got sick, and you, or even if you don't die and then you get sick, you have option, you know, or even the option to get all your money back? You know, so you can go different routes with that. I like to assume the sale. Some people are uncomfortable assuming the sale. So if you want to ask them again, you know, if that would be something that would be important to you, or you'd be at least willing to take a look at it, you can do that. So that's kind of the simple way to get over that. I think you want to hit some objections now.
I've got a question for you. Okay, let's say, and you had something else we talked earlier that you had brought up that I thought was really, really good. If you've got somebody that feels like they're pretty confident in what they have, they don't think they need anything else. You know, they got a good rate. The guy shopped around. You had something you called a 10-4-4-2. What was that?
Well, give me that. Okay, were you able to get the new coverage, the old coverage, yada, 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 I'm done. And you say, well, you know,
okay.
Give me your objection.
Yeah, it's got the critical illness. So if I got cancer or a heart attack, it would pay me some of my mortgage, and I was able to get the most of the mortgage at least covered if I die, and pretty happy with the rate.
Okay, perfect. So, Brad, are you pretty confident or fairly confident or even, you know, 100% positive out of all the hundreds of insurance companies that are out there that you absolutely got the best possible coverage for the cheapest, the least amount of cost? Would you say you're pretty absolute on that?
I don't know if I'd say I'm absolute. I'm pretty confident.
See,
I'm happy with it.
See how I asked that question? It immediately created doubt. And we were doing a training on something like this, and we had people sitting around the table. And it's especially when you're in front of somebody, guys, I can create doubt in your head without even opening my mouth. And I said, watch. And we asked a kid at the table, I go, what's 2 + 2? And he goes, 4. And I looked at him like it was the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my entire life. And I looked at him, and his brain starts scrambling. And you see his eyes look up at the ceiling. He goes, yeah, four. I'm like, two plus two? And he paused for probably 30 seconds and starts counting on his fingers. Everyone goes, oh, it wouldn't work with me. Yes, it would. Because all you got to do is create a second of doubt in someone's mind, and you have complete control, right? So I'm going to say, well, okay, well, that's awesome. I mean, so out of all the options that are out there, the hundreds of different insurance companies, I mean, are you absolutely positively sure that you got the most amount of coverage put in place for the least amount of cost?
Well, and, no, I'm not 100% sure.
And if he pauses that long, I continue to go. Because if he pauses that long, I create a doubt. I just know that. If he goes, and I hear that, I go, well, listen, Brad, here's the thing. You know, out of every 10 policies I take a look at, I'll tell you what, four of them, they're doing fine. They got a pretty decent deal. You know, I may be able to cut them an extra $10 or $20 a month, no big deal, you know. But they have the coverage that you're looking for. Their family's protected. And it's really not worth my time or yours to do anything about the policy. But out of the other four I look at, I mean, they're not really getting the coverage they thought they would. They qualify for way more. They may be overpaying for it. You know, they may have a 30-year term, and really they think it's a 30-year term, but it's really a 10-year term guaranteed in the fine print at the very bottom. You know, it says 30 years, but in the very fine print at the bottom of the policy, it'll say in year 10 that the premiums could double or triple. So this whole time I'm creating doubt. And two of them are flat out just getting taken advantage of. I mean, I'm not even sure why that agent's legally allowed to practice insurance, because he put them on a product that's not even necessary for them. He overcharged them. They put them on something that just made zero sense, and they're just completely getting taken advantage of or paying two or three times more than they should. I'll tell you what, Brad, usually the people that are the most adamant about that they have the best coverage for the cheapest cost usually fall into that category. So I guess my question would be, I'm in your area Tuesday night, okay? I'm not going to go out of my way. I'm in your area. It's going to take 10 or 15 minutes of my time. Would it be worth your time, 15 minutes of your time, for me to stop by and at least let you know which category you fall into?
That's great.
I'll do it again. So I do it different ways. So I go, you know, Brad, are you absolutely sure you got the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost for your family? Because, listen, with how long I've been doing this, Brad, and I'll cut them right off. There I go. You know, how long I've been doing this, out of every 10 policies to look at, you know, four of them are doing okay. They're pretty much right in the ballpark where they should be. They have the coverage put in place to help protect their family, and it's really not worth my time or yours. But the other four I look at, I mean, there's usually something that we can do to help, you know, cut some of the costs or maybe put some coverages in place that the other company didn't have available for them. Or maybe they weren't really getting exactly what they thought they were getting. And two of them are flat out getting taken advantage of. Like, I have no idea why that coverage is even put in place that way. They're overpaying for it. They think they have a 30-year term, and the fine print has a 10-year term. And usually the people that are most adamant about having the best coverage and they think they got the best one usually fall into that category. So what I do, I'm going to be in your area. It's a free service. I have our company. Anyone that sends a form in here, I can at least take a look at it and let you know what category you fall into. So you can at least lay your head on your pillow at night knowing that your family's protected. Would that be worth 15 minutes of your time to have someone who's seasoned in the business take a second look at your policy and make sure that your family's protected? And that's kind of how we go through that 10-4-4-2. And you can use it for pricing. I think I'm all set. I mean, what's all set mean? Oh, I'm all set. Well, okay, great. I don't know what all set means. You know, I'm not a volleyball player. Maybe it's something to do with that, but you know, I'm all set. Okay, well, great. That's awesome. And I may even say something, you know, it depends how fun. I have fun on the phone with these guys. Because, see, if I get somebody, and that's, we talk about rejection and always talk about, you know, people are afraid of rejection, but you can't be rejected. I talked about it at the SFG conference. You can't have rejection and lose something you never had. If I apply to go to a university and I apply to go to Yale, I don't get accepted. I didn't get rejected because I never was at Yale University. If I go up to a girl and I ask her to go out and she says, no, you're ugly, I didn't get rejected because I never was going out with that girl. Now, if I'm at a university and I get kicked out because my grades are flunking because I'm not studying hard enough or the college is too hard, the university is too hard, that's rejection. I had something tangible that I had a hold of, and I lost it. If I'm married for 5 years, my wife wakes up one morning and says, man, I'm just tired of you. You smell, you stink, you're ugly. I just don't like you anymore. That's rejection because I had it, something tangible, and I lost it. So all these forms that were called, calling, as you call them, leads, there is no rejection possible because I don't have anything tangible. So to me, I have fun with them, and if I get some jerk on the phone, I use that to practice and sharpen my skills. So if I get someone who will listen to me that's not a jerk, my skills are practiced. So I love those people. Oh, well, I'm already covered. Oh, boy, this is a fun one. This is where I get to practice my skills. I sharpen my knives and pull out my sword. I got my gun. Here we go. Let's practice and have fun. There's many times I'm doing this, and I put my finger on the mute button, so I'm laughing so hard sitting at the desk calling these people because I think it's hilarious. But it was so serious. Oh, I have to get these leads. I have to make some money. If I don't get this appointment, you know, relax. And I know it's difficult to relax when you have to do it, and that's why you start have to get good at this stuff. So that's the 10-4-4-2.
Okay, so so to sum that up, if somebody says we already got coverage, we already got that taken care of, the ultimate goal is to do a policy review, and that's, I think, the best way to get into a house and do a policy review. There's only three other objections that I think everything boils down to. So the four that I came up with, and we may come up with more with, when we open up the lines, but I already got that taken care of. We don't need it anymore. We just decided we don't need it. The third one is can't afford it. And the fourth one is can't you just give me the quotes over the phone or email me quotes? So let's do a don't need it. They filled it out.
Okay. Well, real quick before you move on to that, real quick, I'm going to cut you off for a reason. Sometimes it's hard for people to overcome an objection because I can think of probably half the people on the phone going, well, great, I can overcome that objection, but I only know how to read a policy. And you got to know the answer at the end before you'll be confident in overcoming that objection. If I got into a house, remember I did this with credit card processing guys all the time. Every statement was different. I don't care if you're in the business for 5 years, the statements were never the same. They never looked the same. And the companies would mask the way they did these statements in order to fool the merchants so they think they were paying less than they were. So very, very easily train the rep when you walk in there and they pull out their policy. You just look at it, your eyes get real big, and you put your hand over your head and go, man, for as long as I've been doing this, I've never seen a policy written like this. This is just really strange. Do you mind if I get my chief underwriter or my experts in reviewing policies on the phone real quick? I'm going to take a couple pictures of these pages. I'm going to have them look at it real quick. And with technology these days, God, even back then, 10 years ago, do you mind if I get a copy of your statement and fax it over to my office and I'm taking a look at it to say, hey, do you mind if I just get this guy on the phone and just take a couple pictures of these two, three pages here and let me just forward them to him real quick? And that's something that's very great. So go to the next objection.
You're asking me if I got the coverage in place or if I didn't get the coverage in place.
Okay, were you able to put that?
No, I
able to put that.
Coverage.
Go ahead.
I did not get the coverage. We just decided that we didn't need it. Wasn't that important to us.
Okay. So you just decided that what happened between the time when you filled out the form till now that you decided that protecting or putting that protection in place for your family wasn't important to you? Or was
no,
it?
We've already got something through work. And we just didn't want the extra expense.
If they don't need it, I'm trying to figure out, I go, what happened between when you filled this form out till now where you decided that this wasn't important to you anymore? And that's how I would word it. What happened between the time you filled out this form and mailed it back to our office and now that you've decided this is no longer important to you or this protection for your family is no longer important to you? Well, we have coverage at work. Okay, great. Did you put that coverage in place, or did you have that job before you bought your home, or did you get it after you bought your home? Well, I got it in before. Okay, so we can safely assume that coverage was not put in place to protect your home, but it was put in place for your work. And again, Brad, I mean, I'm just here to help you out. You sent this form to us. I'm trying to get resolution on this form, make sure your family is protected. And a lot of people don't realize if you lose your job or if you become unemployed or something were to happen where you switch jobs, that coverage is gone. Do you think it'd be a good peace of mind to know that you have coverage put in place that goes with you forever? No matter where you work, that coverage is put in place to protect your family or your children.
Yeah.
If you had a choice between having someone have control, someone else, here's a great one, guys. If you had the choice, and I always give people choices, trapdoor B. If you had the choice between having someone else have control of whether your family's protected or not, or you having control of whether your family's protected or not, which one would you pick?
Me.
And that's exactly why I'm calling. Because as long as if you don't have coverage that you own yourself, you're allowing someone else to be in control of your family's future. And I don't think either one of us want that to happen, do we? See, what's funny, guys, is when you're talking about these objections, again, man, time just flies. we'll do a whole training. We'll continue doing objections. And any and all objections that you can send to us, we can create a page how to overcome them. And you'll have to go to agenttraining.info and click on objections and hit a little tab, and there'll be every single possible objection you could possibly get. And we'll have a section called on the phone. We'll have a section called in the home. We'll have a section on recruiting. And all the objections that you get, we can start formulating, guys, a system to where you are going to be impenetrable and unstoppable. One of the major things I was taught to get practice this, guys, is when I can ask them a question, trapdoor A, trapdoor B, I call it. I give them two choices, and they got to pick one. If he goes, well, it's not really that big of a deal. I don't care if someone else has control of my family's future. Trapdoor A, boom, see ya. I forget what it was. It was some show on TV where they had this money. If you win $1 million, like it was Drop Zone or something like that. It was on for a very short time. And if they got the question wrong, they hit a button, all the money would just fly down to the floor. That's my trapdoor A, trapdoor B. Well, if you had a choice between having coverage put in place where someone else had control of the protection of you and your family, or you had control of whether your family was protected or not, I mean, which would you rather have? Give me another one real quick.
Well, I want to make a point what you're doing here. When I say we decide we don't need it, it's a knee-jerk reaction, and you're digging in. That's not the real reason. Don't need it. There was obviously a need. So you were asking more questions to uncover the actual objection. Well, the actual objection was we think we might have enough coverage through work, so you covered it. Or we don't want an extra bill, so maybe we can't afford it. That might be the real objection. But I don't think you got to dig in and ask more questions to get to the real thing. Okay, so we don't need it. Now the next one, can't afford it. We actually met with an agent, and it was a lot more money than we thought, and we just can't afford it.
Okay, and what was it, the price that he quoted that was unaffordable to you?
Well, it was like $200 a month.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And this is where it comes into a scenario of, and I always said, oh, my gosh, I want to agree with them. Okay, I want to agree with the fact that, yeah, that seems crazy. I just had one of these I set an appointment with the other day because I only got eight leads 2 weeks ago, so I spent a lot of time calling B leads again. I booked an appointment off this guy, and he goes, well, you know what, we already had some guy come out here, it's just not affordable. And I go, well, what wasn't affordable to you? That's the first question. I'm always asking questions because I'm in control asking questions, but I'm just curious. He goes, well, it was going to be like $600 a month to cover our whole house. I just think that's ridiculous. So this is a tough one to answer because it's based upon I'm looking at their age on the form. I'm trying to figure out in my brain why was it not affordable to them. Was it because they're really unhealthy? But this one guy was pretty simple. And I said, well, to me, I think it's kind of ridiculous. It's so funny. I wish I had this call record. For you to have to pay $500 just to be able to pay off a $249,000 home. And he goes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Plus, I have life insurance at work. Plus, I own this policy here and this policy there. And I don't usually try to go into what we do in the home, guys, but if it's a last-ditch effort over the phone, I started going into the critical period company. I'll say, well, you know, I'm going to go over something with you real quick, and if you still don't think this is a concern, I'll hang up the phone and I'll make sure no one bothers you again. But to me, I think it's asinine to be able to pay $700 a month or put coverage in place because most people like yourself don't prepare for the future like you have, and I congratulate you for that. You have life insurance put in place. You have your pension put in place. You have Social Security put in place. But some people miss the fact and don't realize the fact that it takes a little bit of time to get all that stuff transferred over. I have a friend of mine whose cousin, basically, she had all that stuff put in place, and she lost her home because she goes, Nate, I didn't realize how long it took sometimes to get that stuff switched over. So she didn't have the money to be able to pay her bills and her mortgage, and they took the home, and she gave all that equity in the home to the bank. So rather than having you pay off your full entire house, we have a program that is basically mortgage payment protection, which could literally buy you either 3 months, 6 months, 90 days, 6 months, up to a year, 2 or 3 years, where your mortgage payments were made. So if you did pass away, that your wife, number one, wouldn't have to worry about that mortgage for a certain period of time, and that she would have the time to put all the other stuff put in place that you have put in place that you prepared so well for. I think that'd be way more affordable into what you're looking for as opposed to trying to pay $500 a month, because I really like where you're going with that. Yes, I'd like to sit down and talk to you more. Other one goes, well, I can't afford that. Well, what was it? And I'll ask you, Brad, what was the coverage he quoted you that was unaffordable?
Well, the full mortgage payoff was like a little over $200 a month, and we just can't afford that much.
What would it have to have been to think that you could afford it? Like, what fits into the budget?
maybe $50 to $100. Less than $100 would fit in the
budget. Perfect. And I'll tell you this. I have access to 33 different companies. As soon as I hang up the phone with you, I'm writing to the script, guys. As soon as I hang up the phone with you, my job is to shop for you and negotiate on your behalf and find the company that's going to offer you the most amount of coverage for the least amount of cost. And I've yet to sit down with a homeowner and was unable to find them coverage that was affordable to them. So basically what you're telling me, Brad, is it's not that it's not important to you. It's not that you don't care about your family. It's not that, if you die, you don't want your home paid off. You just want to make sure that it's affordable and fits into the budget. And it is important to you, but you just want to make sure you can afford it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is important. I just need to be able to afford it. That's right.
Awesome. So what I'll make sure I'll do is I'll put these numbers together for you and get the options you're looking for, and I'll swing by your house. And it says here your birth date was 3/25/75. Is that right?
That's right.
Boom, right into the script. I wish we could spend more time because what I'm doing here is there's a lot of psychology behind it when we talk about repeating the objection. I'm taking that objection off the table. Like one of the things I could say, okay, so Brad, what you're telling me is that, and I'm kind of letting them off the hook here, right? Well, I can't afford it. It was too much. Well, what wasn't affordable? It was $250. Well, what would fit into the budget? Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell me your best rate? Okay, before I do that, so what you're trying to tell me here, Brad, is that it's not the fact that you don't want your family protected, or if you die, you want your wife moving into an apartment with your kids, or if you become sick, you want to lose your home. That's all important to you. What it really comes down to is that it's just not affordable. Is that what you're telling me? And he's going to say yes because he feels like I let him off the hook. So as soon as I can isolate an objection, as I would say, and I get all the other objections off the table, and I can isolate that objection, his objection, I want to make sure, is that his real objection? He goes, well, I don't know if I really need it. Well, I didn't get his real objection. So I want to isolate it. Is the affordability cost really the objection? Well, yeah. So what you're telling me is that you do see need for this coverage. You would like to have it in your place, but the reason you're not putting it in place is that it's just not affordable. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
So what is affordable to you? And I'll take that same route. So there hasn't been a family I've sat down with yet that we haven't been able to find coverage that we could put in place that wasn't affordable then. So, let me just go through a couple quick questions here and we'll see what we can find. What else?
And psychologically, he doesn't want to not make the appointment. Otherwise, what he's sounding like is he just doesn't care about his family. Not important to him. That's the only reason now he wouldn't make an appointment. If you already covered that, you can find something that's affordable. If he says no, I don't want to meet. He's feeling like now that he's saying it's not important. So you kind of planted that. So I love the way you do that. Okay, the last objection that we came up with was, can't you just give me something over the phone or email? I mean, I don't want to waste time before I know any numbers. I want to know the numbers before we actually sit down and meet.
That's a good one because as I'm going through this, Brad, I'm thinking, okay, we got to have step one, step two, step three. We got to have the simple steps. I'm almost feel like I'm complicating it and I'm scaring people on the phone going, man, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. And so I want to kind of not dumb it down, but kind of make it a little bit more simple too. And we're going to start, there's four phases of learning, which we'll go over another time as well. And right now, a lot of you guys are in phase one. Some of you guys are in phase two. They've been on the phone for a little bit. So a lot of the objections, I repeat them back to them so I can isolate them. I ignore some of them. I just think it's kind of funny. I just kind of laugh. I'll just keep going. And believe it or not, guys, if you try that, just ignore an objection that someone says, well, it's just too expensive. Okay. Anyway, Brad, so what was your main concern about sending this form in? And you'd be amazed. People go, oh, I can't do that. You'd be amazed how many times you do that. The average person was like, did he not just hear me? I love to do that on the too expensive. I'll just go, we can't even afford it. Okay. And so what was the main concern for sending the form in? And they just go, you just hear me? I just said I couldn't afford it. And a lot of times, just by ignoring an objection, just acting kind of dumb, like you didn't hear them say it, and you move on, they'll go right through it with you. Because your whole idea is to get an appointment. So even when someone goes, can I just get quotes over the phone, or can you just email some information and go, listen, I would love to, but because of the state of Texas, they require me. This coverage, Brad, does not require a medical exam, so there's not going to be a nurse coming out there and putting a needle in your arm. They're not going to have to make you, urinate into a cup. I know it sounds gross, or even hook you up to an EKG machine. And because of that, I'm a licensed field underwriter, so I take the place of that nurse. Okay, I'm going to dress up as pretty as her. But I'm not coming in a white outfit or anything. I'll just make a little joke. And so, you know, in order for me to do that, I got to sit down and verify your ID and your height and your weight and stuff. So you put down here your weight was 111 or your height was 5'6 and you're 185. Is that correct? Boom. And usually you can get by it with just that one, right? Now, if someone starts, that's more of just a simple one. You know, well, can you give me quotes over the phone? If they just want to become adamant, I go, listen, I appreciate where you're coming from, Brad. Let's say he goes, well, you know, that sounds all great, but I don't want you coming out of my house at all until I can get something or a range on the phone. Okay, I can give you a range. It can be between $30. And I have people that paid up to $300 for their coverage a month. So that's your range. I don't know what you're going to qualify for, number one, until I can get these questions verified. And number two, I'm not really sure until I sit down with you what coverage you want to put in place for your family. Do you want to have just the basic coverage? If you die, your home is paid off, or do you want to have all the bells and whistles so you're protected whether you die, whether you live, and you get all your money back? But that's not a decision I can make. It's a decision you have to make. Well, that's great, 3,100. I need to have a number closer than that. Okay, listen. If you were me and I were you, Brad, and I do this on the phone, guys. If you were me and I were you, and you got 40 to 50 of these forms of homeowners like yourself who are looking to protect their family in case of a death, a disability, or a critical illness, and you could sit at home in your pair of shorts and a T-shirt with the basketball game off in the background, and you could just sit there giving quotes, and you could be done in 2 or 3 hours up to 40 forms. Or B, you could go put thousands of miles on your car, take time away from your family, be up till 12, 1 in the morning sometimes, spend hundreds of dollars a month on gas, and go out and sit down with each family owner, and you could pick which one you'd rather do. Which would you rather do, Brad?
I'd rather sit at home.
Me too. So don't you think if I could, I would? So, you know, this is a process that it works. This is important to you. This is a process to go to. Okay. So, anyway, you had down here that your date of birth is 3/25/75. Is that right? And I'll just
that's
go
with right.
So, I mean, that's basically how I go through. I'd love to have quotes over the phone, a very simple one, a little bit more in-depth one. And the last one I'll leave you with you guys, which I use is, you know, well, I don't remember sending that form in, or I don't do this, or I don't do that, or I don't know about this, and they just, whatever they're throwing at you and everything else. And I just go, Brad, you know, my job here is to get, I have to get resolution on every one of these leads, or every one of these forms. See, that's why I keep calling them forms, guys. Even if you want to call leads, we start calling them forms, because I've messed up more times in front of people, and it sucks when you're in a home and you say, hey, what was your concern when filling out this lead? You don't want to do that, so just forms, okay? So I'm going to say my job here, Brad, is I have to get – I'm required by the state and my company to get resolution on every one of these forms that mail back to our office. Now, if the resolution is, hey, I don't really care about this anymore. If I pass away, it's up to my family to fend for themselves. They can go live in an apartment. My wife can move in with her niece. I don't care. That, to me, is resolution. Or, hey, you know, this coverage, I don't even want it anymore. I think it's the worst thing ever. Protecting my home, it's overrated. It should be paid off. I'm not going to die. That's resolution. I already got coverage, and even though there's hundreds of other companies that are out there that to take care of this, and I'm pretty much fat, you know, set in my ways that I have the best rate, that's okay. That's resolution. But my job is I need to get resolution because otherwise, I mean, we could be in a lawsuit. You filled out this form, and you mailed it back to our office. If we don't respond and get resolution and put it into our company's computer, we could be held liable. I could lose my license as an agent because what happens if, God forbid, you got in a car wreck and your wife comes by and says, hey, I mailed in this form 2 weeks ago and no one ever even called us. No one ever made sure that we were even covered. So I'm sure you can understand, Brad, where I'm coming from. The only reason I'm trying to ask these questions is to make sure that this is taken care of and I have resolution on this. I just booked an appointment that way. So that was a lot of psychology behind it, but I said, well, y'all, if this isn't important to you, and I could care less, I'm creating all sorts of doubt. But there's if someone's really adamant about it and goes, listen, I need to get resolution. I just want people keep harassing you. It's by my company. I'm required by the state and required by my company to make sure that I have an answer on this lead. If your answer is screw you, I don't want coverage, and it's really irrelevant to me, and I thought they were giving away $1 million sweepstakes, that's fine with me. It's resolution. I just need to ask you these two quick questions. I can get you off the phone. And you can move on with your Saturday, and I can move on with mine. I didn't send this form in, Brad, and because you sent it in, I have to do this. Does that make sense? Can you just help me out real quick so I can get these two questions answered? And I go right into those two questions. So
you know what? Something my mentor taught me about objections, too, is that it's kind of like a game of ping pong. When they give you an objection, they're hitting the ball to you. You respond with another question. And usually it takes up to three. People aren't going to give you more than three objections. You're digging in. The first one's going to be a knee-jerk reaction. Can't you just send me some forms? You covered that one. And then you ask them a question. I can't afford it. What can you afford? Well, it just isn't important to us. What is important to you? And it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. They're hitting you the ball. That's the objection. You're asking a question. And they're only going to do it usually up to three times. You can either ignore the objection, you can ask a question, and eventually after three times, most of the time you're going to get an appointment out of it. They're not just going to keep giving the objection over and over and over and over. So I love what you're doing, that you're just asking more questions. By giving the objection, you ask me more questions. You're digging into the objection, finding the real objection. Once you find it, once you see the signs, you get back on the road, now you're able to get that appointment. But a lot of people, especially when you're brand new, I remember when I was brand new, it was just easy to hang up. It was easy when I got the objection to say, okay, thanks a lot, and you hang up the phone. And you put that into the no pile, because all we're doing is sorting yeses and nos. And I just put it in the no pile. And the better I got, the more I practiced and I got comfortable on the phone, I'd get to cover some of these objections. I'd dig in a little bit more and ask more questions. And a lot of those no's would go over to the yes pile.
Just to end off the call, it's something I got taught a long time ago, is that you're either selling or you're buying. And everyone goes, oh, I'm not good in sales. Well, you're either selling. And anything you do, you're either selling or you're buying. And when you're buying, you're losing money. You're giving away your money to somebody else. And see, when you're selling, and again, we talk about the psychology behind the sale guy, so it's not banging over the head with a hammer or a ratchet, or beating them over the skull, getting to listen to you. But when you are creating that value and asking those questions, you're in control. When you're selling, you're making money. And so either you're buying their excuses, or you're buying their objections, or you're selling your reasons why what they're saying is stupid. And I was always taught, take a picture about putting a mirror up in front of their face, and when they give you an objection, your job is to say, show them how dumb what they just said was, but you can't go, hey, that was really the stupidest thing you ever said. So I'm able to just look at them and go, okay, so when was it that this all of a sudden became unimportant, protecting your family become unimportant to you? And so what we got to get good at, and if you get good at it, get good at not buying other people's objections, guys. Get good at getting that objection, accepting it, embracing it, and being able to overcome that objection to keep them on the path that you want to keep them on. Everyone's brain is nothing different than a dog waiting for somewhere to pee, and you have control of the leash. Are you going to let the dog pee where it wants to, or are you going to pull the chain when they go to the wrong way and say, no, pee over here? And that's really the psychology behind it when it comes to overcoming objections. Real quick, anyone have any objections you want to cover, or just thoughts? We'll wrap up the call and let's chat. Here's your chat.
Hey, Nate, this is Craig in San Diego. A lot of what I found out is that, like, a lot of customers will, they'll look at your call, and I like what you've done, and having a double area code to call from, because a lot of see the call, maybe they got the first call, or they don't recognize the number. They just avoid picking up the phone. They won't engage at all. I really like what you said. This has been a real powerful call about drilling down and digging deep and having those kind of responses. And you're exactly right. You can't win if you're not in the game. You need to be in front of them. But when they practice avoidance of picking up that phone, it makes it virtually impossible. I think the next thing that you're probably going to tell me is get in your car and go knock on the door. And that's probably what – that thought just occurred to me as I'm having this conversation. But
well, good.
That's the next thing I'm – yeah. That's the only thing I can see, because it really is important to get in front of these people.
Yeah, and you're having trouble answering their phone, right?
You're
saying that you're having trouble sometimes them picking up and answering the phone. Is that right?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have file folders, and I have all my new leads I stuck in there as B leads, right? And I went over this with Johnny here, a new rep and a new agent. I got to put this on the website. Well, I had my folders. I put like a little tally mark. Remember when you were little, you played Hangman, and every time you put a little tally mark, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I call them stick numbers. You see these movies and they're in jail and they're taking a stone. They're putting number of years they've been in prison. I put that on the top of the lead, the form. See, I'm correcting myself. I learned myself. So I have that on top of the form. And if I've called them 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times and stuff, I'll put it into a little folder I can't get a hold of. Haven't got a hold of. Okay. So I'm going to have a folder of all my forms that came in for the week. and I'm going to start calling them. And I have a Google Voice number. If you have a smartphone, you can get a Google Voice number. Don't call me and ask me how to do it. I read it online. I don't have a clue how to do it. I read it online. I forgot how I did it. But if you have a smartphone, you can get a little app called Google Voice, and you can dial all your contacts. It imports them all in there. Read online, call someone online, go to a forum online, figure it out. So I have a 469 number I call from and a 614 number, which is my cell phone I call from. So if you have a cell phone number, make it an out-of-state number. If you already have a local number, make it an out-of-state Google number. Some people won't pick up phone numbers if it's local because they think it's a bill collector, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, a friend. They don't want to pick up the phone, the bank. Maybe they're behind on their car, whatever. And some people won't pick up those numbers, but they'll pick up an out-of-state number. Some people won't pick up an out-of-state number for the life of them because they don't recognize the number. And who's this guy from Ohio calling me? But they'll pick up a local number. So I'll go through all my leads once with the one numbers, and I'll go through all my forms the second time with a different phone number. So if I'm not getting a hold of them, I throw them into a file folder that basically says, you know, haven't got a hold of. So when my fresh leads come in, I know I have my fresh leads. I haven't got a hold of leads. Now, if I have the forms that come in that don't have a phone number on them, guys, I love those because that means most people are too lazy to ever go by their house and knock on their door. So to me, that's an A lead. I have a folder called drive-bys, and I have an A lead. I take that B lead, the $5 lead or $1 lead, and I'll throw it into drive-by because, you know, Brad taught me that one. He goes, that's just like an A lead. I go, what are you talking about? I have no phone number. He goes, that's most likely most people have been so lazy, no one's going to go out there and talk to them. So you can show up on their door, and most likely no one's got a hold of them because they didn't put their phone number on. So that's an immediate drive-by. Also, after I go through eight or nine times, not eight or nine dials on one number, if they have two or three numbers, if I've gone through maybe eight times from both phone numbers and I can't get a hold of them, I will leave a message. Now, I don't know if that goes against what they teach. This is what I do. Same thing, it's in the script. Craig, this is Nate, calling from the Mortgage Protection Center. And I'm calling in regards to your $150,000 loan amount with Bank of America. And I have a form here that's sitting on my desk that has your signature and information on it. And I'm doing an investigation on it. And if you wouldn't mind, I have a few questions that are unanswered, and I can't tell if this has been taken care of or not. Could you give me a call back? My phone number is 469-224-7969, 469-224-7969. And, again, this is Nate with the Mortgage Protection Center. And that's it. I leave a message.
Got it.
So basically that folder goes into left message. So I have, you know, my new forms I'm calling. I have, hey, I haven't got a hold of them for a while, so I put them in there. And then as soon as I get to eight or nine, I pop them into left message. And then I'll do the drive-bys. So if I leave a message and I haven't heard back from them, if they even have an email, if they have an email address, guys, and now I know exactly what people are going to do. Oh, every time you call a lead, now you're going to leave a message. No, that's not what I said. I said eight or nine times I don't get a hold of them, I leave a message. If they have an email address on there, I'll type them an email, RE, Bank America Mortgage, right on the top. And I'll copy verbatim what I just said. It's on the script. This is Nate Offer with the Mortgage Protection Center. And I'll put an email together. I'm trying to reach you in terms of a form I have that has your signature on it. I have all your information here for your Bank of America loan for $150,000. And I'm doing an investigation on this form. I have two questions that I answer. Would you please give me a call or respond back to me? So I can get, you know, I can get these questions answered that I need, whatever's on the script. So I even do an email and I'll do a left message. And if I do an email or a left message and they still don't hear back, then I stick them in the drive-by folder. So I have an A lead drive-by folder, which is no phone numbers, no one's ever got a hold of them, they neatly go in there, and I'll do a drive-by folder. And I have this drive-by folder so that I can drive by their home and knock on the door because my job is to what? Get resolution on every one of these forms. And it wasn't until I called a lady where I got a hold of her and I said, hey, you know, and I start going through the script and she goes, I'll stop you right here. I really appreciate what you're doing, but I no longer live in this home. I go, why is that? She goes, my husband passed away from a heart attack 2 weeks ago. No one ever got a hold of us, so I really believe in what you're doing. This is what she said to me. I really believe in what you're doing, but at this point I don't need the coverage because I no longer have a home. And that got me, guys. I was like, wow. And that immediately changed my point of view, like, oh, I need to make money this week, or I want to do this week. So, my God, these are real people. These are real lives that were changing. I mean, it's just like, my God. No one got, now, I could probably say you probably didn't answer your phone. I'm sure someone else called you besides me, but maybe they didn't. Maybe someone that had that A-lead that week was busy, and they maybe made one phone call, and then they didn't answer, and so they stuck it in their file, and it rolled over to me. I don't know. So I want to get resolution on those leads, and as well as I'm so funny. I teach people to say forms. I'm saying leads forms. So I'm still practicing saying forms, guys.
I think what you said, Nate, and I really got it through the whole call. It really is about resolution. And Matt and Brad have talked about getting resolution, the yeses and the noes. But it's really drilling down and making sure your why is sincere enough that you really do follow your passion to resolve and try to get resolution with these families. And I think if we have that as a goal in mind, then we're not going to be thrown off. We're not going to let anything become an obstacle. We're going to find a way to put in that family because of that story you just told. I don't want somebody to tell me that, you know, we just lost our husband because nobody got back to me. So our why has to be deep enough. Our passion has to be ignited. And I think with that, we can all get through the simple objections that were thrown out day in and day out when we get on the phones, and then find a way to really get good at what we're doing. And that's all it is. I haven't closed a lot of sales yet, but I've had a lot of rejections. I've had a lot of experience. But every time I get more experience, I get more confident. So my posture is getting more firm. My foundation is better. So this call was really, really helpful because I can take what you've taken now and get right into action beginning tomorrow morning and just go right back through my calls again and make those connections or put them in my file and get out and knock on those doors, because it's all about the sincerity of passion and what my mission is to get in front of them to protect those families. And if that's your goal, then you're not going to let anything stop you. Thank you for the call.